Amen, amen. You may have your, or take your seat today. Say hello to somebody, though, this morning. As you do, say good morning. Well, listen, we're going to kick off today. We're going to be celebrating just a little bit, all right? And so get ready. We're going to just save it all for just if we can. I don't know if we can. But we're just going to get ready to celebrate just what God did last Sunday. So last Sunday was Serve Day. And so Serve Day has been something that we've done every year since we have launched and every right around this time of the summer kicking off. Well, here's a few of the things that we got to see happen over the past week. So first and foremost is we partnered with Fostering Possibilities and Feed My Sheep Ministry. In the back of our church building right now, waiting to be picked up, is about 30 to 40 bags worth about $700 worth of food that's going to be going to this ministry that's going to feed kids throughout this summer. And so it's awesome to get to see that. We also got to partner with Fostering Possibilities, okay, which is an organization that helps new foster families and kids be adequately clothed so that they can have everything that they need to be taken care of right here in Grayson, Kentucky. We were able to send a crew, do some landscaping there, but also bless them with a $1,000 check. And so on that Sunday, we got to see over $1,700 go outside the walls of our church to these organizations. Now, come on, give God some praise for that, to be generous in that way. Now, we got some really cool stories to share as well. We had one family that went to Grand, Kentucky, and they were going to love on one particular family. And this family, as somebody they have met through relationships, and they, you know, it's like you start building homes in the hollers, you have to clear out the land, but the land does something. It tries to swallow your home back. And so you constantly have to fight back the weeds, fight back the trees. And so that's what they went there to do, to basically clear off this land. Well, they learned, though, that this family had gone without running water for 2 months. And we were going to ask, they began to ask questions, hey, what's going on? You know, why is this happening? He said, well, we've got a break in our water line somewhere that is just leaking water. And so we just turned the water off. We didn't have the funds to fix it at this time. And so the mission of the team began to be, how do we fix this family's water? And it wasn't until they were actually leaving, thinking that the mission had failed, did they, on their way out, notice the water shut off meter on the side of the hill. You ever seen in your house, you have like that manhole cover? That is something good to know where it is. They found it. They were able to turn back on the water, and then they went back to the house, and it looked like just, I mean, the worst type of fountain you could ever imagine coming out of their backyard. They were able to turn off the water, dig a hole in that section to find that there was just a small break in the copper pipe. Now, to continue the story, this past week, praise the Lord, the right three people were at that place. If you would have sent Aaron Rayburn to that place, we wouldn't know what to do. We would have been calling somebody. But the three men that were there, they knew exactly what to do. And this past week, they were able to patch up that water line, get it to where it's no longer leaking, but then they understood the next need is that their water had been shut off because they needed some support in paying the bill. Those three families decided to split what they needed or to split what the previous bill was and to pay it to get their water turned back on. I don't know about you, but that is some good news today, right? Praise God. Come on, give us some praise for that. Always giving the need. Now, let's keep going. It gets really cool. Even beyond this, we got to have the opportunity last Sunday to go to send our recovery group to a home that had been impacted by recovery, by addiction. You don't have to go very far in this region to find a home that's been impacted by addiction. And they were sent to this particular home to just do some landscaping, to love, to make this home look brand new. And what they didn't expect that team on that day was two individuals. You may actually see them outside around the building this service doing some landscaping. Their name was Wally and Patrick. Wally and Patrick came into service last Sunday looking to go to church. And we're like, buddy, the church is about to go outside of this building. And they said, well, what are we doing? I said, well, we're going to some different places. And they said, well, we have a lot of history and expertise in landscaping. I'm like, you do. And so I said, listen, I'm going to connect you with our recovery guys, and they're going to send you to the place where you can really just be a blessing. Well, it turns out them two guys are just absolute workhorses. And if you were to see the before and after of this home, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And here's what I wanted to highlight today. Those two guys came in looking for a place to belong, looking for a place to connect, but God gave them a place in which they can bless somebody else through their expertise and through their gifting. Insane, right? Isn't that absolutely insane to see that happen? Now, our last story that we had, so we took our community groups to our neighborhood. In our neighborhood, there was two families that we were wanting to love on and help. And one particular family, her yard had basically needed a lot of support. Huge limb the size of this room had fallen, or the length of this room had fallen down. But there's also a huge brush pile. The brush pile, when you see it from the road, you're thinking, it looks about the space of this front section. But when you get up on it, it's half the size of this room. That is no joke. And so we're just like, God, how are we going to do this? But praise God, he just kept multiplying workers. By the time we started, we seen like four chainsaws going at one time at this tree and at this brush pile. And he brought us Cresha and Jesse. Jesse, he hops out of the truck. And once again, I'm not the guy that's normally prepared for those things. I was the guy on the lawnmower and doing the heavy lifting. He came with his pants on, and with a daggone chainsaw that could have cut through any sort of tree. And praise God, they needed it. And so we got to see over 20 people, 15 kids, just land in our neighborhood and just completely flip this woman's home and all of her landscaping. And every time we get a drive by it now, we just get to say, man, that is good, good news. And so what a fun time it was. Then we had a last group that got to go to the youth service center and help organize and get to help take in those donations and make sure that they're put in a great place. And they just got to see just a glimmer of the needs that our school system has and the way in which we can love and serve them. And so thank you for being a part of that day. But it's just one day. It's just one day that we set aside to go out, but going out isn't just set for one day. It's a way in which we are called to live. It's a way in which we are called to love. It's a way in which we are called to serve. And so I pray that you would continue to ask the question, God, how can I be a maximal service to you and to your kingdom today? So let's hop in to our message today. I'm going to be really honest with you today. I've had messages before that have been very difficult to prepare for. This one has seemed like it's been the most difficult that I've had to walk through in a while. I continued to ask some friends. I said, hey, I feel like there's just a block. I feel like there's just almost like this dam that's preventing this message from becoming clear. And so I just want to share that with you today. One, just to continue to pray. I write up here for the last probably 5 weeks, on every single one of the messages, I just have a little outline. I write spirit and power. And here's what I pray today, that you would hear these words of mine, not under my own authority or my own power, but they would be words that come from the Holy Spirit and they would be from his power. Because we need it more than ever today. And I want you just to kind of wrestle with me a little bit as we bring to life what we feel like that the Lord has for us today. Now, I want to start with one illustration that I think will begin to help us connect. You are here today at Foundation Church for a reason and for a purpose. You have found yourself living in this region for a reason and for a purpose. We find people come from all over the place. You don't necessarily call Grayson your home, but you call the mountains your home. And God has brought you here to this place, to this church, for a reason and for a purpose. Now, the question that I've been asking over and over again is why? Why? Why has he brought you here? Why are you here today? What does God have in store for you? And what does God have in store for me? And what does God have in store for this church? Emily knows this about me. Why is one of my favorite questions. Sometimes I'm like a toddler that just is like told to do something and I'm just like, why? That's normally my face. Why? I have been criticized that why will sometimes make others feel inferior or make others feel stupid because normally it's just my face. It's written all over it. But why normally isn't asked in that way. Often it's more so asking, God, why? Like, why are we here? God, what is our purpose? God, what is our mission? I'm going to take you to about, 10,000 feet today. And this is where it's been really hard to articulate the words because it feels like what the Lord wants to do through us and what God wants to do through you is bigger than the words of which I can use today. But it's also extremely tangible and it is, and will be extremely fruitful to both you and to others. But this question, why, really resonates with me. Simon Sinek, I read this book. It said, start with why in 2019. Start with why. He says this line, and it resonates with me over and over, is people don't care what you do. They care why you do it. When you take Serve Day, for example, there's one simple question that every single person we served asked. Why? Why? Why do we do that? And so today, I'm bringing that to a higher level today. I want us to see, God, just really and truly, why do we exist here as Foundation Church? What is it that God is calling me into? What is it that God is calling you into? And here's what I know. You didn't come in here today asking God, why are you here? I know that for a fact. That's the problem with us that ask the question why is we're normally the only ones asking the question why. You're like, I just showed up to church today because I needed some encouragement and I just felt like it was the right thing to do. I'm not really asking why. I don't really care why. But here's what I'm doing. I'm stepping in and driving home. Why? Okay? Once again, continue to pray for me. Here's what I believe. That God is doing something here in this region through this church. That's greater than what we can imagine, what we can believe. But we as individuals, here's what we are titling this whole series, this whole sermon, or this whole series is that set apart. That what I believe that God is going to be leading us into is to this realization that we are set apart. That we are set apart to be a people that is unique and that is different from what this region sees and what it already has experienced. That we are people set apart for the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we are people set apart to love and to serve. And here's what we are as a church. And a church, I'm going to say that as a body of believers, as a group of individuals here, is that we are going to be the church that this region didn't expect. If you are from this area, you probably passed 5 churches on your way here. You are maybe even thinking that there was a church plant that came to Grayson, Kentucky. Why did Grayson, Kentucky need another church plant, like another church in general? But here's what we have noticed is that we see more people come through our doors that have been a part of churches but no longer attend. They came into our doors because they're looking for something different. They're curious if maybe they could reconnect with the God of their childhood. The one in which they pushed aside because of maybe the hurt that they experienced in the church they were in, or they just forgot the goodness of God. We see over and over again people who come in seeking the Lord, but hurt in some capacity, in some way. Listen, we know that this region, it needs Jesus desperately. And we believe that we are going to show them Jesus in a way in which they don't expect. A way in which they haven't experienced and encountered before. That we will be bold, that we will live on mission, that we will live to love and to serve those of which God has called us to. That we will be a zealous group of people. And so, as we say all of this, and as I have been praying through this, why are we here? I have been trying to find a guide, and I've been trying to find a way of which I feel like the Lord is uniquely speaking to us. And it's been through the book of Titus. I've got some really close people in the room here, and they know that I have been reading and talking about Titus since last September. And I can't get it out of my head. And I keep saying that this is who I believe that God is calling us to be. It's as if Paul is writing a letter directly to us, but he's really writing a letter to a church off the island of Greece called Crete. So I want to have you today open up your Bibles to the book of Titus. Here's how you'll find it. The Bible in the New Testament has all of these eons. All of these eons. They end in I-A-N-S. And then you get to Timothy. And right after Timothy, you get to the book of Titus. And we're going to be living there for the next 8 weeks, because here's what I believe, is that God is giving us this letter that Paul wrote to Titus to remind us and to send us on the mission that God has for us here in this region. That it will be the answer to the question of why are we here? What is the call upon our life? What is the call upon our ministry here in this region? And so, I'm going to be living there. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. Bookmark it in your Bible. If you're on your phone, go ahead and make sure you download this book. And I want to challenge you over the next 8 weeks to read it every single week, if not every day. It's only 3 chapters. It will maybe take you 5 minutes. But in it, you'll see the fruit of the gospel. And you'll see what I believe today that the Lord's revealing to us. We're going to see today the purpose that God has for us, the hope that we find in Christ, and the promises of which we can stand on God. So, here we go. Kicking off a new series, set apart. We're going to go verse by verse, beginning with verse 1. Paul used to be a guy named Saul who was a devout Jew that literally was persecuting the church. Believed that he was being zealous for God, but really he found himself in opposition to God. It wasn't until he was on the road to Damascus that Jesus Christ revealed himself to him, who he is and what he has done, that he really was the Messiah. And he tells Paul, who was then Saul, he says, why are you crucifying me? From that point on, Paul had his heart and his mission of his life to literally proclaim Jesus Christ as the Messiah. I want you to see that. The one that was once killing Christians became the one professing Jesus Christ and making disciples. God uses him. And Paul here, he is writing this letter to Titus, but Paul, he says in verse 1, a servant of God. This word servant is literally connected to slave. Paul is seeing himself in complete and total submission to God. And a slave under that time, they would have understood that them being a servant, them being a slave to anyone, anything, meant that they were in complete submission. But here's what I found really beautiful. Complete dependence. Complete dependence upon their master for all that they needed and all that they would need. And so we find here that Paul, here, he's a servant of God. Listen, many people will call me Pastor Aaron. But there's a language change that you could begin to make that helps me identify myself. I am Servant Aaron. Some of you are like, no way am I calling you Servant Aaron. But I'm telling you, that's what I am. I am only here to serve you. Let me back up. I am only here to serve God. And I serve God in a similar way in which Paul does, to bring forth the truth of his word, to be an encourager, to love you and to care for you. Like, I am a servant. That's where Paul begins his ministry. You don't call him Pastor Paul. He does call himself an apostle, which means he's a messenger. He is a messenger. Paul is a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. He is a messenger of the hope of Jesus Christ. These two things are not titles that bring great honor, because that's not what he's wanting, because he's putting himself, no, I'm here to love and to serve. I'm a messenger of God. I'm the person to bring forth this message. An apostle of Jesus Christ. He is a servant. He is here only to love and only to serve. This is, though, we see later on, verse 1, this is his purpose, is to serve. For what reason? What is the purpose statement that he gets to? He says, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth. He is getting to this place where he sees that everything that I do is for your sake. Everything I do is for your sake, so that your faith may increase and that your knowledge of the truth may become so real and so confident that you're willing to stand upon it, that you're willing to give everything to it, that you would be transformed into godliness, that he says here. Paul wants this more than anything. He wants your faith to increase so that you may believe, that you may see yourself, as he says here in this verse, he says that for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, that you would see yourself as God's elect. And what does that mean? Some connect that to like a predestination language, but I would rather you shift it and see it as a covenant language. That God on this island of Crete, he has chosen his people who will be his ministers. That he will lead, love, and serve. That he will guide into life. Like there is a chosen people. God throughout all the time has always had a chosen people that he is using to bring about his purposes. Paul sees that. And Paul says that it is my role for this chosen people to continue to encourage, to build them up, but then also to send them out. This is our hope. This is his purpose that he has. How many of you today are looking for purpose in your life? If you're in college, you're trying to figure it out. I remember those days. You're like, God, what am I going to do? Then you find your first job and you immediately think this is going to be fulfilling. This is going to be the greatest thing ever. But then about 3 months into your first job, you start asking, is this all that there really is? Like, is this now the whole purpose of my life to work 9 to 5 for this company? Like, is that my purpose? You find it's non-fulfilling, right? Oftentimes. But then you get to a place where we have some that are retired. And retirees sometimes wrestle with this question the most because they had maybe found purpose in their job. Maybe they had some kids along the way, and then that was their second great purpose of life. But now they find that their career is over and their kids are gone, and you're wondering, like, what is my purpose? You see, the world will seek it. It will tell you all sorts of different things that you can find your purpose in. Normally, it will all center around money, fame, and fortune. But Jesus has a different purpose for each and every single one of us. Jesus has a different purpose for his chosen, for his elect. And when you're wondering today, what is the great purpose that we are invited into? Look at what Paul started with. I am a servant of the one true God. I am an apostle. I am a messenger of the hope of Jesus Christ in this world. Everything I do is to serve and to love others for the sake of the knowledge of the truth of God. If you're looking for purpose, look no further than what we see here. There is great purpose in a life of faith and a life with Christ. But what does all of this lead to? This belief, this faith, this God's elect, this truth, this godliness, this knowledge, it all leads to this one thing, eternal life. I gotta land here for just a few minutes. Anybody seen the Netflix documentary about Brian Johnson? He is the man who is trying to never die. Has anybody seen this? Got one in the back. Somebody knows who we're talking about. If you've seen him on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook, he's the guy that literally says that they say he looks like he's 30, but he really just, and he's like in his 50s, but he just looks off. You know, he just looks a little off. He dresses a little bit cooler, but to make himself look younger, but he's not. But his whole goal is he's trying to live to be 140 years old. 140. He takes like 50 supplements. He eats this weird mushroom concoction. He works out constantly, like always trying to do the very best thing for his body and for his health. This is what he's obsessed with. Okay, now another question. How many of you have heard the word longevity here recently? Anybody heard of this word? There's this guy named Peter Attia. He talks a lot about like the secret to longevity. There is an obsession between us or in our culture, in our time, to live as long as we possibly can. That's the goal. That's the goal. Nobody wants to die. No one. And so everything that we're doing in health and in conversations is, how do I extend my life? Now, here's what we know. We came in this morning and there was some of the fruit had been left out in the basket till last Sunday. And Amber came up and said, "Hey, was this fruit just put out?" And I said, "No, I don't think so." She said, "Well, it's looking a little soft. It's looking a little wrinkly." And that's kind of the image that comes to my lips. The longer we live on this earth, all right, things don't just get more beautiful and pretty, right? Things just begin to get more and more wrinkly. If you're like me, everything's just turning gray. And you're just like, the world continues more and more towards chaos or dystrophy or a breakdown of things. That apple did not get better over time. It started to break down. Our bodies are doing the very same thing, right? Nobody here can escape it. Nobody. Now, to some, that's depressing. You're like, "Wow, I'm so happy I came to Foundation Church on the most confusing Sunday ever. So happy we're talking about death. What an encouragement." Listen, it is the thing that matters the most. Jesus came to seek and to save. Why would somebody need to be saved? He says, because death is coming. And there's this aspect of salvation that directly connects with this idea of death and then really begins to offer eternal life. Without death, really the gospel loses. It doesn't make sense. And so, listen, I was 14 years old when the Lord began to really speak to me. And it was through this concept that truth began to come really into my life. I was driving down Route 2, about to cross over the interstate, and I seen the world in a different way. What I seen was the reality that one day I will no longer be here, that one day my life will come to an end, that one day, that if we read through what the scripture, what I learned, like, I will stand before the creator of the universe and there will be this great divide between those that sought him out and those that didn't. Those that said yes to what his message was and those that rejected it. Like, it was so crystal clear. And here's where I was. What do you do when you face the reality of death? I want to ask you this. To whom do you turn when you face the reality of death? The world has no answer to it. There is none. You can't continue to make yourself live longer. People have been trying that, but they still come to the end. When you read that there is a creator of the universe and that he is right, he is righteous, but he is loving, and he is also bringing forth like his kingdom. And you hear all of this language and you're like, "Well, where do I stand in that?" It was like it just weighed on me. I had nowhere else to turn. The world had nothing for me to offer. If death was all that there is, then it didn't matter for anybody. But I felt like there was something greater. That I felt like there was a message that there was life beyond death. And I understood that based on what God's word had told me, that I had no solution nor answer to live past death. I had no solution or answer to bring forth eternal life into my life. But I found that Jesus did. And so over and over, the Lord began to break through the reality and he began to just show me, "Listen, Aaron, there is a brevity to your life. There is a brevity to each and every single person's life in this room." And that is why we see that his message comes. He says, "I have come to bring you life, not death. I have come so that they may experience eternal life. I have come so that to seek and to save the lost." Like, that was the message I kept feeling. So whenever I crossed that freeway for the first time, all I could say was, "Jesus, I need you." If what the word says is true, and I believe it is truth, and over, I just kept feeling, "Jesus, I need you." And you must wrestle with this question. It's the question you must, what happens after you die? What hope do you have? But Paul says, though, that we carry the hope of eternal life, that we carry the hope that one day, that one day we will stand before the presence of God, not in fear and trembling, but in gladness and in joy. You see, this aspect of eternal life isn't just that we one day go up to heaven and just get to be with all of our lost loved ones. No, the aspect of eternal life is more so that we get reconnected with our Creator. We are a redeemed and reconciled people that now gets to be forever in the presence of God. That is heaven. That is the hope. The very opposite of heaven has been identified as hell. And hell, you know what hell ultimately is? It is the absence of God in His presence. That is why there would be so much darkness. That is why there would be such weeping and wailing. It has, I believe, very little to do with how hot it may be in hell, but just for the simple fact that God will not be in hell. We've never, ever experienced full separation from God. But He says that we don't have to. We don't have to. And so He gives us that there's this message of the hope of eternal life. Every single person here in this entire region has to wrestle with this question. Is there life beyond this? And if there is, what does it look like to attain it? But Jesus says that I have come that you may have life, that you may experience it to the full, both on this side of the heaven and on the other side. That eternal life is to know the one true God, as John 17:3 says, that we move from death to life, to being in the presence of God, always connected with Him, always with Him by our side. And it says here that we have this hope. We have this hope. Now, like tomorrow, I'm hoping it doesn't rain. You know, that's how we oftentimes use the word hope. But the word hope here is confidence, that I have a confidence in what the truth is and who God is. That's why I believe in eternal life, that there is this confident expectation that Jesus is who He says that He is, and that is what gives me today hope. What if today your future wasn't dependent upon wishful thinking, but was dependent upon confidence of who Jesus is and what He has done? It is offered here in this text. But Paul's reminding us once again, he's reminding us that we have this message, this truth that brings forth this hope of eternal life, which God, I want you to see this, who never ever lies. He never lies. It's not in His nature. He promised before the ages began that this fulfillment, that this plan, that this salvation would come to all people through His Son, but at the proper time became manifested. It came to life. It became known in His word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God, our Savior. Here's what I want you to know, is that Jesus was right on time, both in history, but then also in your life. That the revelation of Jesus Christ came into your life at the right time, in the proper moment, and He saved your soul. It became known. It became so clear to you. The story that it was written in the Bible, or the story that's written throughout this reality, and you begin to say yes to who Jesus is and what He has done. He doesn't lie, but rather He promised this hope. He promised it. Came to be. Listen, that Christ has come, the Word has brought this part to life, and it has been the tool of which God has used to bring forth life for years and years. Here's an awesome thought for you. Here's an awesome thought for you today. You are standing here in a room, or not standing, you're not standing at all. I'm standing, just making sure you're with me. You're in this room because the gospel message never stopped being shared. Think about that. We are in year 2025. This was written about 60 AD. And the same message has been shared for over 2,000 years, or just under 2,000 years. Think about that. You are the product of somebody sharing this good news. You are the product of that. And here's what's crazy. Kingdoms have come, but they have gone. The New Age trends have come and they have gone. all of the people that promised all of these things of hope and salvation, they have come, but their message has died. But here is what is crazy, is that the word of God has not stopped. Amen. There has been nothing that has stopped the word of God of coming to you. It has not. For 2,000 years, nothing has been able to overcome it. No king or kingdom has been able to stop it. They keep, even to this day, killing people who call themselves Christians. But in those countries where death is happening, explosion of the ministry of the gospel is also happening today. This is a word that has not stopped. You are here today because of that. And to that, you should be saying, praise God. Amen. Praise God for it. And how has it come? Through the preaching of God's word. Now, listen, we got to clear something up. How we do church now is not how they did church then. They met in homes, and they would invite their neighbors in to come to hear about this man named Jesus. And for generations after generations, you just seen houses all across the land opening up their doors to people who had no idea that there was hope or that there was hope in eternal life through Jesus Christ. And they just sat around the table and said, hey, I want to tell you that there's hope. I want to tell you about a man named Jesus. How did he know about Jesus? Because somebody had told him. And I told you at the very beginning, it is through the Spirit and through the power that the word continues to come. It is through the Spirit and the power that the word has met you. It's through Spirit and power that the word is making you today. And so at the proper time, it came. I want to just finish as we read here. It says, and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted. By who? By the command of God, our Savior. This is a word of which Paul has been entrusted with, but is giving the word to Titus, and Titus will entrust it to the Cretans. And I want to share with you today that this same word comes to us as we finish our verse. I want to invite Caleb to come up in our worship team. It says, to Titus, my true child, in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ, our Savior. Titus is finding himself on Crete, and he's reminded, saying, Titus, you have been set apart. That what has been established, that what has been started, I need you to set it in order. So today, as we close and as we begin our series, I'm going to try my very best to bring it all together. Paul is writing this letter to a church, or to the churches in Crete. He's using the man named Titus to bring forth the message. They have heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they need to have a few things set into order. They need to remember the calling. They need to remember what God is sending them out to do. And I want to start there. I want that we are seeing that there is a purpose for Foundation Church. There's a purpose that he has for us. Why are we here? We are all servants of God. We are messengers of Jesus Christ. For the sake of the faith of God's elect, for generations to come in this region, that they would understand and know the truth of the gospel which accords to godliness. That each and every single person that we meet in our family, in our workplace, in our schools, in our neighborhood, in our community, would not be without hope, but would have the hope of eternal life. We have that purpose, and we have that hope. What are we as Foundation Church? We are messengers of hope. Everybody needs hope, but they need the kind of which brings forth life. And why do we do this? It's because God has promised us that this eternal life is real. We not only have put our trust in that, we have experienced that. I want you to think about when the message of the gospel became known to you in your life. How did you respond to it? How did you say yes to it? How has it transformed you? How has it given you hope? How has it given you life? See, we stand on that hope, but then we also stand today on the promises that the God who has continued, who has began the work in us, will continue to finish his work in those of which he has called us to love and to serve. This is just the beginning. This was our starting point this week, to begin in the book of Titus to ask the question, why are you here? God has a purpose for you. God has a hope for you. And God has many, many promises of which he wants you to stand on and to know. Now, today, if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus, there's a great call in your life to be used by him. But today, if you become seeking and searching and you're wondering, then we encourage you to do the same thing that we have done. Say yes to the hope. Say yes to the promises of God. Say yes to the purpose that he has for you. We call that coming into a relationship with Jesus that will literally transform everything in your life. And today you can do that. Now there's a few ways we see that done. Maybe today you want to come forward and you want to just bow before this stage and just say, God, I give my life to you, or God, I say yes to the hope that you offer. Maybe today you want to just literally kneel at your chair, but listen, or just raise your hand at the end, or tell somebody that you know, listen, it doesn't matter how, it just matters that you do. Eternal life can be had today through faith in Jesus Christ. Would you stand with us as we come to a close and pray? Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for bringing us into your house. And God, you have a spirit, God, that is alive and active. And God, where my words fall so short, Lord, may your power be much greater. To those that are seeking and searching today, God, may they just begin to maybe hear you speaking to them or pulling at their heart today. Lord, as you're inviting them in to a greater purpose, inviting them in to experience the hope of eternal life, invite them in to come to know the promises. God, would they just say yes to it as so many of us have already? Would they begin to give their life to it? And Lord, may they make it known to us. God, for us that are in the room that have maybe lost our vision, have maybe lost the purpose that you have set before us, I pray that it would just be reignited today. That we would find ourselves just on our knees tonight and saying, God, I am sold out to you. I'm sold out, God. I'm saturated, Lord, by your word and your truth. And Lord, may it take me into places where I can be good news to others. Lord, we love you today and we're thankful, God, for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You're in it with me. You're working through me. Fighting for me, God is not against me. You're in it with me, oh, you're working through me. You're fighting for me, God is not against me. You're in it with me, you're working through me. Fighting for me, God is not against me.
Shout of praise this morning.
Amen, amen. We're so happy that you joined us today. I want to share one quick update with you that we are just going to continue to lead and guide you through this book of Titus over the next 8 weeks. And one of the ways that we do that is through a newsletter and text system. And this text system, you receive one message a week, but it's just one way that we can continue to support you and connect with you throughout this week. And so my buddy Jordan is going to throw up the link on the screen. Just text join to the number on the screen, and you will be receiving just some updates every week as we walk through this series and we step into what God has for us. You guys, it's been a great place to be. We're thankful for you, and we're just thankful for you being here in this place. May God bless you this week. In Jesus' name, have a great day, guys.